Hey everyone, welcome back to the Rock Church Podcast. This is actually Pastor Shane, but I lost my voice last week, so I'll sound a little different than normal. We're so glad that you've joined us. We're just continuing on in our series titled The Truth, which is based on the four pillars of the four square gospel. Let me introduce to you who's here at the table.
Pastor Jacob.
Angie Preston.
And Michael Erdman.
Pastor Mike, you brought a great message last week about Jesus being the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. And that's something that maybe people don't understand. I'm glad we got to dig into it, and I'm glad we got to bring some more explanation. Obviously, there's way more to talk about than what you talked about on Sunday, which is also a challenge because people really have experienced maybe some trauma and church hurt in regards to the work of the Holy Spirit amongst the gathering of believers. And so obviously you didn't get to get into it exactly how you would have liked to in one day. But why don't you give us a recap of the day? What do you hope that people heard from that message on Sunday?
So, yeah, there was so much. I tried to stay on just one topic, which was the focus of the Holy Spirit baptism brings transformation in your life. That was my hope that everybody would hear, and that without the fruit of what that brings, you're really not getting what God is intending for our lives. We aren't here to live a selfish life. We aren't here to live for the world, but apart from the world. And you can't do that. It's quite obvious you can't do that without the power of God. And so the story I gave, the focus was seek the baptism with the Holy Spirit for transformation to be more of who God made you to be. Because there's only one of us. There's only one created Michael. There's only one created Jacob. There's only one created Angie and Shane. You guys, we all do something unique for the kingdom of God. And he's the only one that can tell us what that is. And it's through that power of transformation, just as Jesus told the disciples in Acts. Go and wait for the power that was promised you by the Father, and that's when everything started to change. And so I know there was a lot of other things we didn't cover, I didn't get to talk about, and that's what today is hopefully going to bring about.
Yay. Yeah, and a good reference point. Last year, I think it was, or earlier this year, we did a series titled Pneumatology. Mm-hmm. And so if you're listening today and you want even more, we actually did a multi-part series. And it's all, we actually both have it in live stream, but we also have it in the podcast. We did a long series on that, which was really great. But I'd like to go around the table. Ange, we'll start with you and then go to Jacob. But what were some things that maybe stood out, or what were some thoughts you had or commentary on Michael's message from Sunday?
Thank you for putting me on the spot.
Surprise.
I totally appreciate that. Yeah, I really loved the perspective of it is not about the baptism with the Holy Spirit is not about the gifts, but about the fruit. And I think that is so often something that gets neglected to talk about, and the focus is all about the gifts. And the reason for the gifts are to bless others. And oftentimes, and I'll use my own example of my own church hurt with speaking in tongues specifically, is it was utilized to glorify an individual and promote them and their ministry rather than to encourage and to spur on others in their faith. And so just having this historical rub in my mind, it's really refreshing and healing to be reminded that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not about the gifts. It's all about what fruit and transformation comes from your life. And so that, it helped me, and it helped me shift my focus on how I'm living in the Spirit, and how I'm utilizing my giftings and giftings that I've ignored or chosen not to utilize because of that church hurt or, you know, abuse. I don't want to be that person, so I'm not going to utilize this gift that I have. So it was very emboldening to and encouraging yeah, your message was awesome. So it was good.
I do want to challenge you both on that. And because it's easy to make blanket statements out of hurt.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
So saying the baptism of the Spirit is not for the gifts, I don't feel like that's fully accurate. It is the baptism of the Holy Spirit does bring the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The problem we face in church is that's been over glorified.
Yes.
The gift has been over glorified. The fruit has been pushed down, right?
That and needs so to be flipped.
We, instead of things being well balanced, mm-hmm. we need to acknowledge that the gifts are part of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The fruit is part of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The transformation is the real thing, which is what you covered. And what's it for mission. The whole point of having gifts and fruit is to go and to be witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You know what I mean? And so I'm here and I hear exactly, I'm interpreting exactly what you're saying. But I do think we need to be careful for those listening. And as leaders, as we teach, it's not that it's not about the fruit. It's that the fruit isn't the main thing.
Yeah, that's
a byproduct.
I guess the biggest thing is the relationship. You know the giver of the gifts are going to come. That's just a given. It's going to happen. And the more you know the giver, the more you understand that his gifts are for the mission that is what he's called us to do. And so I guess, and to be honest, some of that could be tied to just some of the things that I've heard through a lot of people with that hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I put at the very beginning, if you base your opinion on God, on human fallibility, you're going to be disappointed and you're going to miss what he's trying
to do. That was really good.
And so you get to know the Father and you say, but I don't want your gifts because somebody hurt me. Mm-hmm. With a theology or whatever about them, and you totally miss what he has for us.
Right.
And so it's trying to shift shift the American focus of Christianity.
Right.
This should be normal. We should be wanting a supernatural, natural life.
Amen. I know a metaphor that I think about when we're talking about the gifts before we hand it over to Jacob is, as a father with my daughter, if all she wanted from me is gifts and the things that I could give her, how lame and unhealthy would that relationship be?
Yep.
And there's a lot of Christians in the Spirit-filled community that have that sort of relationship. And I think that's what you're speaking to when you're saying it's not about the gifts, because we don't want to have that relationship with our Heavenly Father. Well, we don't want to be like, just give me what you got. Just give me what you got.
Think about the relationship. Hey, I'm coming into your room and I'm just asking for money. Hey, Dad, give me $20.
Right.
No. Hey, Dad, how are you doing today? Lead with the relationship and then get the $20.
Exactly. And then it makes that gift even more significant because it's not something that has to be given to us. It's something that's promised, but it's also promised in the context of and I'll use that word you just used, supernatural relationship with God. To have a relationship with the Lord is supernatural, number one, and it only comes by the Holy Spirit. So our relationship with God is completely based on the Holy Spirit, and it's just unhealthy to only seek gifts and then get them and then not operate in fruit also. But Jacob, we'll pass it over to you. Give us your rundown.
There's a lot I want to say, touching on everything you guys have touched on so far. I'll be honest, Sunday was a bit of a rough day for me, which if you're listening, you can ask me about it in person. But so we took our youth to Kearney, Nebraska for a youth convention, and they had a breakout for the leaders. And this is what the speaker talked about was baptism in the Holy Spirit, how to, one, pursue it in your own life, but two, also lead your students in that. And there's a lot of what you guys said that made me think of it, that made me think of some of the things we talked about this weekend, and like how we talked about the difference between the fruits of the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit, and the gifts of the Spirit. They are both important. They are for two different purposes. The fruit of the Spirit is going to provide you some of that internal transformation, which becomes visible, which then you are empowered with the gifts of the Holy Spirit from on high for the work of the ministry he has called you to. And how you were talking about your daughter asking you for gifts or only wanting the gifts, And then tying that in with what you said, Mike, about it's not about the gifts, it's about the giver. Well, how I see it is that the giver is the gift.
Amen.
The analogy that the speaker used was, he said, so a couple weeks ago was my wife's birthday, and I got her this pair of shoes that she really, really wanted. What do you think her reaction would have been if I went into her and all I handed her was the receipt? I said, look, I got you this wonderful gift. Well, give me the gift, but here's the receipt. And that's oftentimes how we think about, especially the gift of tongues, is like you have to have tongues to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. No, you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And oftentimes tongues is how we know for sure in the real world, using it right now, that we are. And that's a gift that we can point to. But it's more about who gave it to you. One of the things we talked about, especially with the desire to be baptized, people will pray and pray and pray for the gift of tongues, and then they won't get the gift of tongues, and then they'll be discouraged because I did something wrong, or God doesn't want to give me the gift, or I didn't pray the right way. And a lot of times people think that they have to pray the right way at the right time, on the right day of camp, in the right church service, sitting in the right spot, saying the right words, begging God for a gift that he already wants to give them. So if, just as an encouragement, if you don't have some certain gift that you think God needs to give you in order for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I just want to encourage that you already have more of the Holy Spirit than you did when you walked in. When you walked in with an attitude of, I want to hear more from you, God, he has already poured out. You already have the Holy Spirit, and now you're seeking more. And that's what needs to be encouraged.
That's great. And I think we do talk about, there's different experiences with the Holy Spirit, and sometimes it can get confusing for people. And a lot of times when people hear about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they want it, but they don't really know why they want it or what they want it for. And I do want to encourage people, in my opinion, and based off of what I understand out of Scripture, the baptism with the Holy Spirit is for mission. It's not something you have to experience to necessarily be saved. It's that when you make the choice of, like, I'm going hard after Jesus, I'm following him in such a way, and I want to tell the whole world about him. I want to fulfill a ministry desire and calling in my life in this world, you will need the gifts and the fruit and that relationship with the Holy Spirit in such a way to do that. And we see that throughout the Scripture, especially in Acts 2, when they get baptized, they experience a baptism with the Holy Spirit. They also experience tongues of fire. And it's that tongues of fire in that moment that actually preaches to all the people from other regions around them. And then what's interesting, and Mike touched on this on Sunday, is Peter, who just 50 days before essentially denied Jesus, now stands up with a level of boldness that he's never experienced before, and he's ready to tell all his fellow Jews and others from all over these different regions that are in Jerusalem for Pentecost. He is now going to preach the gospel. He recalls Joel chapter 2 out of that, and he says, like, hey, this is what the prophet Joel spoke, you know, and in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. You know, so it's not for nothing. Like, if you're out there and you're desiring the Holy Spirit in this baptism sort of way, I would challenge you to ask yourself, why do you need this? Because what's most likely going to happen is the process of seeking it will posture you, your heart, your mind in such a way to be focused towards mission. And then when you receive it, you're going to feel a desire and a passion and a drive towards living a missional life. That's really what the baptism is really for.
Yeah, it's Peter's my favorite example because, you know, he fails so miserably the night of Jesus's trial, and then is Billy Graham 50 days later. Paul says in 2 Timothy when he's talking to Timothy, he says, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." And so there's, it's one of those both and things that you get with the Spirit. You get peace, you get love, you get self-control, you get all these fruit that can't be done by yourself.
Right.
You get boldness to stand up in front of man and say, "I follow Jesus, and let me tell you and show you why. Let me live in this world where everybody says, use your weakness as a strength instead of letting God make my weakness his strength." Mm. Like, this is the both and. And then, well, I'm going to go and I'm going to pray for this person who has no hope. And God says, this person needs you to pray. And I'm going to pray for something impossible, like you're going to be healed, or your trauma is going to be gone, or your mental health is going to turn around and go the other way, and you're going to be whole. And those things come about as a mission of saying, God loves you, he cares for you, and let me show you how much. Mm-hmm. And so all of these things tie together, and when we discount one or the other, or cut one out because some human hurt us, or we're scared to get into it because it's weird, it's different, it's not human, it's supernatural, we miss everything that God's giving us on this mm-hmm. earth. We miss everything, and we're just living in the world.
Yeah.
Another point to that of we discussed earlier is when you question whether or not you have had the baptism of the Holy Spirit because you don't speak in tongues or because whatever other qualifier or somebody's questioning your experience, that undeniable experience that you had is all the proof. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have X, Y, or Z mm-hmm. that proves that you have been baptized with the Holy Spirit.
You'll know.
Yeah. You'll know in your knower that something is different.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second, because it's a great point, number one, that just because you've experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit doesn't necessarily mean you're just going to have all these gifts all of a sudden and all this stuff's going to happen. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I want to make very clear, is an encounter. It's a mm-hmm. power encounter yeah. with God. Meaning, here's I guess how I could break it down really simply. If you went up front in your church sometime and you prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and nothing happened, you have yet to receive it. You would know. This is what you're talking about. It is a significant moment in somebody's life. You actually experience the power and presence of God in a way that you have not felt before. Mm-hmm. It's usually quite overwhelming. Usually there's your body will respond. People cry or people shake or they feel overwhelmed or there's different
there's
types
warmth,
of encounters.
There's peace,
yeah.
There's, yeah.
It's powerful. Yep. And
heaviness,
and,
whatever.
And so I would say, don't worry about the gifts. If you haven't had a power encounter with God's presence, like what we're talking about, seek that. God desires that for you. And that's part of what Mike talked about on Sunday. And the scripture says, is if you ask for this, God uses this example. Like if a son asks for bread, the father's not going to give him a stone, right? Like, and he goes on to talk about, and maybe Mike, you can bring that up. I think it's a good verse to read because people kind of get afraid of the Holy Spirit or don't know if it's a good thing or whatever. It's a better than good thing. It's a great thing. And your whole life will change in the best way after that. And the point kind of that we're getting at is, number one, it's a power encounter. You'll know when it happens. It's supernatural. Two, don't worry about the gifts and what happens. That will naturally come after that point because God's desire is for you to be equipped to live a missional lifestyle, to be on mission, to be a representative for Jesus. But again, I want to go back to if you went up for prayer sometime and nothing happened, keep seeking it because I will say, I don't think you got it. It's not just words that happen. It's not just a prayer.
Right.
It's a literal power experience. Mm-hmm. It's transformational.
And three, it doesn't, or it can happen more than just one time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think what you said about being on mission, think about all the seasons of your life and your maturity level.
Yeah.
You couldn't handle the things that you're experiencing now when you were 12. Like, right. Sorry, you're not ready for that. Your brain would explode.
Absolutely.
So as you change as a human being, and as you grow, and as you are transformed and healed and given gifts, your mission changes throughout your life.
Yeah.
Your focus changes. It could be, you know, the same mission, but with a different focus. And that those things are revealed through time.
Absolutely. I'd love to share a quick version of my testimony with this because I think it's really important. But when I was really, really small, like from age 3 to 5, somewhere around there, my mom used to drive me to school and she would turn on worship music and pray in the spirit, like all the way to school, right? And I remember, and this is a vague memory for me, obviously really strong memory for her, but at some point I turned to the side and said, hey, I want to do that. And she reached over and said, cool, let's do it, and prayed over me to receive that gift. And I started speaking in tongues, and I've been able to do that my whole life. Now, I didn't even really understand it. And this goes to what you're talking about is I knew that it was a way I could pray, especially when I was scared. So like at night when I would have like the boogeyman, you know, kind of things at night, when I was a kid, I would pray like that. And I didn't, nobody told me any better that I could or I couldn't or whatever. And I did that.
It just was.
But what happened to me in my 20s is I had another experience where I realized, hey, back then when that happened, I didn't know what I had received or not. And I remember responding in a church service in my early 20s, and they were talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I was like, I'm going in for more. And I did. And I had a crazy power encounter with the Lord. And there was all this inner healing that happened from my childhood. That encounter for me was like light and electricity and power. And my language, my prayer language got reignited. I had all this inner healing. I was weeping, and God was just like purging me of all this trauma that happened in my life. And even since that moment, I've had various encounters with the Lord where it was a baptism. So let's break this down really quick. When we say baptism, it's simply this Greek word that they're using, baptizo, here in the New Testament. And it really means, to put it super simply, you are immersed with the presence of God. Mm-hmm. It's an immersion. Some people have used the example of like a sunken ship, like when the Titanic at the bottom of the ocean, it is filled inside and out. Every crevice that can fit water is now
saturated
in the water. And in the same way, that's why they use that term, is this baptism, but rather with water. And rather with the baptism with the Holy Spirit instead of water, it's like we're experiencing that water baptism, but yet it's God's presence. Mm-hmm. And it's overwhelming. It's this complete feeling from within and without, upon. And I've had those encounters multiple times. And so what's cool, like to what Angie was saying, is I can look back and see how those encounters with God empowered the next season of ministry in my life. And we can tie that to Acts chapter 4, when the disciples are experiencing a persecution and a hardship for sharing the gospel. They come together and they pray, and they don't ask for protection. They ask for more boldness.
Yep.
And when they do, the place that they're at is shaken, and they're all refilled with the Holy Spirit. And then they go back out and do it all again.
Yep.
Oh, I don't know why you guys are pointing at me.
It looked like you were going to say something, or you wanted to.
Just along those lines, especially talking about the repeat fillings of the Holy Spirit, one of the arguments I come across, and not as much anymore, but especially for someone who is a cessationist, believes that the gifts of the Holy Spirit were for the apostles and they don't continue into today. How would you describe that to them, or even just articulating your experiences to say, like, this is how I know it is for today. This is how I know. Like, maybe what are some experiences you could point to sort of say, hey, the gifts are still for today?
I could say it super simply, where those power experiences I've had, now I'll say multiple times they've happened with people laying on hands, anointing me with oil and praying for me. And this goes back to the transformation comment for Michael, what you said, because every time that's happened, I've walked out transformed. Something's healed in me. Mm-hmm. Something's, I've been given gifts. I've grown in gifts, like gifts that I didn't have before. I have now gifts that I really operated better in before. I don't really operate in now. And it's this dynamic relationship with the Lord. So I would say I'm different. Like I'm changed, I'm transformed, and I've become more Christ-like, and I'm more equipped for ministry. So that's the byproduct of this like power encounter.
Yeah, it's exactly that. I was once one way, and now I'm another. I was the dude in the town that people said, don't grow up to be like him, literally. And with this transformation, this encounter I had in the back of my van, all of a sudden I said, I don't want to do this anymore. And I started to walk out of it. And in that process, there's been times here where, okay, God brought me out of that season and it was amazing. And then I get to Scott's Bluff and he goes, and here's your new season and here's what we're going to work on. And there's been times where I've been prayed for here, and there's been times where I've just sat alone and cried out to God and I could feel the presence just envelop me. And there's direction, there's guidance, there's comfort, there's all of these things that say, here I am and here's your next step. And it just is transforming, and it can't be my own power. There's nobody in this world who has the power to change those things on their own. Look at how the world is going right now on their own. It's a mess. It's a mess. And we want to celebrate our weakness. So how can you explain, how can you justify that the gifts have ceased, the baptism has ceased, when you watch transformed lives happen mm-hmm. in the walk with Christ? And that would be my answer. How do you change?
I don't even know that I can justify praying for people without the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, totally. Right. Agreed. And I think, I mean, I don't know if I'm taking it too far, but like, then what would be the point of salvation? Like, if it's not an active situation, like the Holy Spirit.
Just take me up to heaven now that I'm saved.
But seriously, like how, if you are different, if you are made new, how does that transformation happen? Like most of the secessionists
still
that
have power, then he can't save your soul.
Exactly.
If he doesn't have power.
And so that at a, like a fundamental level, how does salvation even work without the work of the Holy Spirit?
I'm
excited that I'm making this revelation, because I grew up that way of like, the gifts are not, you know, the gifts are scary or they're to hurt people and not to transform you.
Jesus saves us, but it doesn't stop there.
Yeah, there you go.
But, to what you're saying, then is it just an intellectual thought? And that's the sad part, is it shouldn't be.
Yep.
And if it's just an intellectual thought without the power of the Spirit, how are you actually any different than any other religion that's out there? Because that's all intellectual driven.
You wouldn't be.
And so it's the power of God.
It. Yeah.
it's the power of God. And that's how we know he's a living God.
Yeah.
We could really, and that's the sad part, is our world needs to see God's power. And that's one of the reasons why I loved doing ministry, like growing up in places like Boulder. So at my time in Boulder, Colorado, when we were doing college ministry and things like that there, street ministry, you know, there was over 2,000 religions. There was like the largest Buddhist Nairoba or whatever. I can't remember the name of the university. It's a Buddhist university. That's like where everybody goes. It's huge in Boulder. Like you can go to Boulder, and they're not ignorant of the Bible. Actually, they probably know more Bible than most Christians. They're seeking truth. They have all these things. What actually changed in our conversations with them was not debating scripture or this knowledge base, is saying, hey, let me introduce you to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And then you pray for them and they encounter the power of God and they go, oh, your God is really the real God.
It's different than an intellectual concept.
Because it's not an intellectual concept. Yep. There's tons of intellectual concepts out there. We don't need that in our world.
Totally.
We need the power of God. And we need the intellectual part, but they have to go together. And if you don't, you really have to, I really would question, just like I would any other religion, then what's different? And why is this true? You know? And so we have to walk in the power.
And the marriage, if you will, between the power and the intellect, without the intellect, and you just rely on the power, you can also get really crazy.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, and that's where like abuse and things like that come into play. And having that balance in all things is so important.
So that's why, and I referenced this on Sunday, Jesus himself says that I only do what I hear the Father say to do. And I do what I hear him tell me to do. Yep. And he has full access of the Holy Spirit. He is fully anointed in all gifts, all power, all everything. But he still relies on what he hears, because he also says the Spirit will come and he will not speak on his own authority, but on the authority that he hears from the Father. And so you have this intimate relationship because of Jesus and his gift of the Holy Spirit to dwell in us and baptize us, that we hear directly from God, and we're able to tell people what his will, what his heart, what his love is. And Jesus even says, when he's confronting the Pharisees in Matthew, when they say, well, you cast out demons by the power of Satan, by Beelzebul. And he says, no, if I cast out by the Spirit of God that I'm driving out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. And so that's it. Every time he did something, it was through the power of the Holy Spirit to tell people, I am here for you.
Yeah, and I my heart really goes out to some of the Christians out there, because you desire, your spirit desires this, and you're afraid of it because of maybe of what you've seen and stuff.
And it's a willingness to submit to that and open yourself to that.
Let's just talk about that for a second. So to receive the Holy Spirit in this way, it takes surrender. To get the gift of tongues, you have to be a fool. And that's the hard part, is it sounds ridiculous. And unless you're okay
You
let go and you're like faith like a child, like what you're talking about, you have to do that. And you can't posture yourself in pride of like, I know this, because the Holy Spirit, when he comes in, he just kind of demolishes
You'll
be humbled, yeah. And that's the funny part, is I see a tie between cessationist and pride, and then humility, and the Spirit is like, you have to be like a baby. Mm-hmm. You have to be this ridiculous
It's vulnerability.
Fool.
It's like vulnerability. All of the things that you've been taught to be independent, to be, I can't think of the words. You have to lay all of that down.
Right.
And that is that's a holy wrestle. That's
surrender,
opposite of the world.
Reliance.
Well, yeah. And so let's take it even a step further. It's actually letting God have the ick in your life.
Good.
It's saying, because you're never going to be perfect. And so a lot of the mindset is, well, when I fix this, then I'll
have
ask.
When I fix this, then I'll ask.
And it's not about that. It's about saying, God, here's all of me. Mm-hmm. Here's the bad parts that I know I haven't been able to stop or get rid of. And I don't care. I'm giving you all of it. And I want you in here to take out my garbage.
Yep.
Well, and us as leaders have to step into that in the church even more so, because leading a church, any sort of authority or leadership, you see them as infallible and trustworthy and invulnerable and all of these things. And so we have to build that into our culture by consistently talking about it, consistently displaying it, consistently sharing our testimony of being filled in the Spirit and walking in the gifts that he's given us, building that into our culture to give more people more opportunities to step out and to know that this is okay. This is something to be pursued. This is something to desire.
Yeah.
I do want to make a correlation between something that probably is what people have experienced that makes them shy away from this. I just got to be honest. Weird people are often better at receiving the Holy Spirit because
totally.
they're not
open.
Afraid to be weird.
Totally.
And God really uses that.
The eccentric, the artists, the musicians.
They will
totally.
Be ridiculous. They don't care. They're weird already.
Well, your inhibitions are able to be expressed.
Right. And so you have, though, and then you get already weird people with the power of the Holy Spirit.
Being super weird.
And then they're even weirder, right? And so, and that scares people away. But just so people know, it doesn't have to be that way. And you are still you. Let's go here, because God doesn't just take over you and like possess you in this way where you lose your free will and you don't have any choice and it's this overwhelming thing. Mike, you talked about this a little bit. You have to ask for it, and you actually have to want it. And God knows when you're ready for it or not.
Yeah.
And the thing is, as you ask and as you seek and as you knock, as you search, as you go after this, you're actually preparing yourself for it. Sometimes God will withhold it for a time so that you can be ready to receive it. And then when you do, you're not going to immediately turn into something you're afraid of. Like, yeah, Peter kind of turned into a Billy Graham and he started preaching all that stuff. And there's aspects of truth to that, but it doesn't mean God's going to go, oh, you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, now I'm sending you to Africa. Or right. Now I'm like,
right.
That's not guaranteed. That's not just...
It can happen, but it's not the day-to-day.
And I think people see weird people get baptized with the Holy Spirit and become very vocal and all that, which is great. They reach a lot of people, and I'm not bashing that, but it's easier for them to receive that because they don't have that fear or that fear of man or that concern or all the things. Those people tend to surrender easier.
They're okay being Austin weird.
But God will meet you as you are, and God has a call for you that's listening. And you with his empowerment will fulfill your calling and purpose. And that's the funny part. A lot of Christians are living without purpose, and they're living without the fulfillment. And I believe that the baptism with the Holy Spirit is a key part to that breakthrough.
So that's why I love the story of Stephen so much, is because, you know, you look at the disciples and you look at the preaching and the healing and all of that stuff, but then it talks about Stephen, who was just the guy that he's the guy that was appointed to take care of the business side of the church that was being developed in Acts.
Right.
And he was taking care of the tables. He was taking care of the people. He was making sure they were getting what they needed. Yet he was still filled with the Holy Spirit and had performed the signs and wonders among those who were in his circle of influence. And he was performing the kingdom now on earth as it is in heaven, doing everyday jobs. And
absolutely.
And it was the exact same thing that we were trying to say here. Every one of us has this power, but it doesn't mean that I'm going to be the Billy Graham. Yep. I could be the waiter.
Yeah,
I could be the mechanic. I could be the lawyer. I could be the janitor. It doesn't matter, but we all have access to this Spirit of God who's put us in the place that we are to do how he's wired us to do it. Not every one of us is going to do it the same. That's why I said,
that's the body
you're made to do what God made you to do. Let him tell you what it is.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. What I love about that story is he actually preaches to Saul, who would later become Paul in that moment. And I always wondered, it's not really said, but you go, how did that impact Saul in that moment?
Yep.
And I guarantee you, I don't know how it could not happen, but Paul, when he turns from Saul to Paul, does he go back and he go, oh man, Stephen, oh Lord, I'm so sorry, you know? But he got to see, look at what Stephen would do while getting stoned for his faith in Messiah, Yeshua.
Yeah.
And it's like, that makes a difference. And he was just a server.
Yeah.
He wasn't a quote disciple or apostle, but he had one of the greatest preaching moments in history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So one thing I'm going to fight against, let's say we're all going to a party, a conference, whatever, that I want to introduce you to someone you've never met before. And I go, hey, Shane, this is my friend Angie. I promise she's not weird. What are you going to do for the whole party?
Weird.
You are going to be looking for every opportunity to point out the weird things. So how, in light of the Holy Spirit, why do we keep telling people he's not weird? Okay, yeah, he is kind of weird. But how do we provide an opportunity for people who maybe aren't familiar with any of the weirdness of the Holy Spirit yet to still be fully bought in to be open to ask for the gifting of the Holy Spirit without just saying, you just got to be okay with being weird?
I think that's where the fruit comes in. I think
you'll be known by
Paul. Yeah, Paul's... Oh, the whole point of him talking about the fruit is in context of the gifts. So he's like, if you have these gifts, but you don't have love, you're a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Like they will see by how you represent the Holy Spirit, that's how they'll know if he's weird or not. And if you can do something supernatural, like provide a word of knowledge and you speak life into somebody and they go, and you don't do it in this like super hyped, selfish way, and you can be really truth and love and all that, they will say, that wasn't weird. That was the best thing I've ever experienced. Mm-hmm. It might be weird that you know things that you shouldn't know because the Holy Spirit told you, but the experience wasn't weird.
Because it's love.
Yeah, because it's done in love. Yep. And I think that
that's a good point,
John. And let's go lean into that for a second, because there is a portion of the church that has done the Holy Spirit things in really non-fruit of the Spirit ways. And that's what makes the Holy Spirit weird.
Well, that's the loud clanging cymbal. And guess what media and just gin pop is going to see? The clanging cymbal.
Right.
those are the images and the stories that get burned into your mind, not the Holy Spirit encounters that are amazing and life-changing. It's like, oh, wow, that was weird and uncomfortable or damaging.
Well, and you're absolutely right. We should be displaying the fruit of the Spirit. But I think also just being careful about the way we communicate things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't tell anybody the Holy Spirit's not weird, because I would say,
you know how many times I've heard that though?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Oh no, totally. People definitely say that. Yeah.
And I promise he's not weird.
I just want to go like, well, he's God, so you never know what to expect.
Yeah,
like,
that's it.
Like it, if you want, you can't
even
say he's not weird
it.
because God will do what as he pleases. Right. And he'll do the right thing in the moment. Like, so whatever God is truly doing in the moment, it's going to be what's needed. It's when humans add all their weirdness to it is when it actually goes into the weird category. But I mean, I've been in services or gatherings where God is moving incredibly powerful and everybody knows it's God. And if I were an outsider looking in, I would say that's weird. But because I wasn't an outsider, because I was in there, I would say we met God. And it's this knowing inside and this encounter, this transformation that happens inside where you go, it was God. That's all there is to it.
And it doesn't have to be loud. It can be so quiet.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
absolutely.
And I think like when Pastor Lauren preached at our, was it Connection? I can't remember.
Yeah, our conference.
Yeah. It was silent and you could feel and hear the move of God. I mean, that was just beautifully orchestrated.
Absolutely. And I've had those, you know, there are times of like a total quiet, the volume isn't related to this, but where all of a sudden everybody goes silent and people start weeping and it just feels like God's presence is this big, heavy peace blanket
weighted blanket
over you, and you know his holiness is there, and you just want to be on your face, and there's this holy hush, and that, you know, that's the thing. There's no rule to this. I guess that's, maybe what's happened in this, there's no boundaries here.
Yep.
And that's what people struggle with.
Do what you want.
Is like,
it worked this way before, so why isn't it working this way now?
Yeah, and it won't, because
and
it's God.
It. Yep.
And here's what I have to say about God encounters. They're never the same, and yet they're always familiar. Like, you know it's him, and it's never exactly like it was before, at least in my experience.
Well, even look at the Bible. Have you seen the Red Sea parted twice?
Yeah.
Have you seen the leaves grow out of the dead stick? Have you seen
fire called down from heaven by Elijah whatever?
Has anybody else walked on water? Look at all these things that you say, and you're like, well, it's not that, so it can't be real.
Is there another Michael Erdman?
To go.
Yeah. Is there another Michael Erdman? No. Each of us is created unique, just like the moves of the Holy Spirit.
And God will work uniquely in our lives, and that's what's cool. I've experienced things that you guys haven't experienced in the same exact way, and you've experienced things that I will not or have not experienced in the same exact way. And that's the beauty of the living God. Like, this is the point, is you need the Holy Spirit to encounter the living God.
Yep.
Like, he is God's essence or presence on the earth.
And so I think that goes back to the very beginning of this. It's about the relationship. Seek the relationship with the giver. Seek the relationship with Jesus. Seek the relationship with the Father. And you're going to be given these encounters because you're becoming intimate with the one who gives the gift. And he says, I want you to have all of me. I want you to have this. And whatever comes out of it is what he wants to give. Instead of expecting or demanding, I guess, certain things, just listen. Just listen and see what it is that he has for us.
That's good. Why don't you pray us out, Mike?
Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for all the gifts that you have given. Thank you for your son. Thank you that we have access through him to you to live a transformed life and to be who you've created each and every one of us to be. I pray for those who are listening today that you would be with them as they're listening through this podcast in your spirit, that they would feel your peace, your healing touch, your presence, that they would draw closer to you and seek out your voice in their lives to tell them who they are and to find out exactly how you've created them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.